Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Brian Robbie, former big league infielder, now the coach of the Bethel University Royals. And Brian, are you trying to tell me that you guys had a doubleheader today and you just finished it? Did you finish under the lights in the cold, or what happened?
You know, we don't have lights here at Bethel, but we at Bethel, the sun was just peeking out at the end here, at the very, very end. And literally, I just walked up to my office. We ended about 5-10 minutes ago, and
oh, you're kidding me.
We're very cold. Let's put it that way.
Well, and your ballpark's tucked away not far from your facility there. But holy cow, that's a long doubleheader. Who'd you play? How'd it go? And what was it like to play in the cold?
Well, we played St. Mary's today. Today we split. We're actually having a great year here at Bethel. We're 19-4 right now, and 6-2 in the MIAC, and we played a really good. We won the first game, and then we were down 8-2, something like that in the last, or 8-3 in the last standing, and we ended up almost pulling it out at the end, but St. Mary's held on and they did a nice job today. So we got a split, and nobody has frostbite that we know of yet.
Not yet.
We'll deal with.
How many games have you played outside Minnesota this year?
Well, we went down to Florida. We played 8 there, and then we played six in the dome.
Yep.
So we played probably 10 games. Yeah, 17 games outside we've been out. 17, I just counted.
17 outside 17. And about 11 of them in Minnesota?
Yes. Yep.
It's been miserable, Brian. I played in the MIAC, and I know, you know, we get done by the fishing opener, so it is a short season for everybody and a lot of games. And I can remember going to the cafeteria and drinking hot coffee. That's when I started drinking coffee, just to warm up after these doubleheaders on days like today. But my bigger question is, Brian, because I think probably all coaches are asking it right now. We haven't gotten any favors in Minnesota here for the last several years. We've had terrible springs, and we've had COVID. And we're trying to grow the game and keep people and kids engaged in baseball. How do you do that when you're given this piece of pie that you've got to work with in the form of this bad weather?
You play. That's how you do it.
You just keep playing.
That's the one thing that is a great point, is that we had COVID, and some of these kids lost the entire year of are participating. They're loving the fact that they get to play, and that's a
good point. Yep, 40 degrees. Hey, that's a lot better than sitting in my dorm wishing I was playing, huh?
Exactly. So you go and play, and you know what? It's funny because the players that are playing, like tonight, I'll give you an example. We had 14 hits. They had 14. We had 28 hits.
Wow.
And I bet you the field like temperature was probably what, 30?
Yeah.
32?
Yeah.
And we had 28 hits between the two. And a couple guys got hit by pitches. That can't be fun. I've been there, done that.
Yep.
You just play. And you don't worry about the elements. The guys that really get cold are, quite honestly, the coaching staff. the best players, they get cold.
You shouldn't worry about the coaches now.
Yeah, the coaches, I'm more worried about for frostbite than the players. Trust me. Oh, the old guys, it's a little tougher for us, I think, sometimes. But the guys running around, you know, they play, and you know, you just do it. Now, this, to me, is the breaking point. What we did today, this was probably, you know, when we first had the game, we thought we were playing today.
Yep.
It was supposed to be 54 degrees.
Yep.
Okay? And then every day, every hour, the temperature kept going down. Last night, they said it was supposed to be 47.
Yep.
Or somewhere right around there, with a little bit of wind, but pretty dry. Well, guess what? It rained for most of the morning. Had that mist.
Yep.
And we were at 38, 39, 40 degrees with the wind blowing. And if I had a nicer day tomorrow or Friday, both teams would have said, we're moving the game to that day. That's
sure.
how we do it, Mike.
Yep.
So we have our schedule. Excuse me. But if we have Wednesday's our game, which it was, and we look and it's 39 degrees with wind, and tomorrow it's going to be 48 degrees, no wind, we can just say, hey, we're gonna bump our game till tomorrow. And Amayak does a great job. The umpires do a great job facilitating all that. And we play on a warmer date. We're kind of stuck right now, Mike, because the next 2 days are worse than what today might be.
Yep.
So now our next game, this was really kind of funny because, and I wonder if, but we're supposed to play Hamlin on Saturday at 6 o'clock at night.
Over at St. Paul, at the Saints ballpark?
Yeah. The high is supposed to be 40 for the day. By the time we play, and there's supposed to be a 20-mile-an-hour wind, that's a feel-like temperature of probably in the upper 20s, low 30s at game time, game one.
Yeah.
So we've got to figure that stuff out, you know. But, Mike, another reason why we play, to answer your question, is so we don't back up games.
Yeah.
We got two games in today. The whole, entire MIAC played, except for two teams.
Okay.
And everybody else played. The reason we do it is because we're looking ahead. We don't want to get backed up. We have one MIAC team that's already down because of his field condition, that he's already down two full series.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what do you do? So we're trying to stay ahead of it a little bit, and sometimes that means you play in a little bit in tougher elements. But this is nothing compared to what COVID did to us.
That's a great point. That's great. Now, Brian Robbie's our guest, Bethel coach and former Gopher, former big league ball player, et cetera. He's seen it all in his day, and he's got a son that's playing pretty high level right now, too. But Brian, if you're, let's take it down a level. Let's say high school, junior high coach. You're talking about now April 13th, and maybe I was talking to a high school coach yesterday. They've played one game so far. Right. Their team went to Florida early and scrimmaged amongst each other. They came back, and they've barely been outside the gym. They played a game because it was nice enough, too, but they've barely been outside the gym. What advice do you give to those coaches about keeping their kids engaged in baseball, you know, a sport that we love, but we also know that, you know, some kids don't have the attention span for it.
Right.
And especially when you have to send them back inside after they've been outside, what can you do to not just make it fun, but you want to make sure that they're progressing and improving?
Well, what we do here at Bethel is and what I would tell even coaches do, when you have your workouts early to get to develop your teams and things like that. So the whole month of February, for example, at Bethel, we practice, and it's all indoors, obviously. We're practicing indoors for that entire month, and then at the end of the month to early March, we start playing games. After we start playing games, we cut our practices in half. We just go and we've done all our pickoffs. We've done all our PFPs and things. We do a lot.
Yep.
And we still work on that stuff.
Yep.
But we try to cut the practices in half so that the guys are doing the important stuff that they need to do. They're throwing. They're getting ground balls. They're hitting. If we need to work on something quick, we do that. But then we get them in, get them out. And the reason why is to keep them interested, to keep them there, and to keep them tomorrow I called. I gave no practice tomorrow, and the reason why, had a good game, had a couple games, very spirited games. We've been playing a lot. We've been playing well. Boom, tomorrow we'll take a day off just to try to get them back into class and make sure that they're doing the stuff they have to do there. And then boom, we hit it again on Friday. We try to play on Saturday if we can. And so I try to do whatever we possibly can to once the season's going on, even for high school. When I did it there at Forest Lake. Is if we have situations like this, we'd practice. If I had 3 days before a game, I would maybe would call and say, hey, no practice today because we have two more days before we play. But a lot of times if we did practice, I got them in, did our stuff, we hit, we did our main stuff we had to do, and then get them out. And trying to keep them encouraged. Now, here's the other thing, Mike, that people have to remember. In Minnesota, if you're really a, if you play baseball and you play a lot of it, we have three seasons in Minnesota. We have the spring, high school. We have the summer, which is Legion or whatever affiliation.
Town ball, yeah, whatever, yep.
Okay, and then in the fall, there's also fall leagues they play in. So theoretically, when the season starts, you almost have your 20-game season plus playoffs with high school. Then you have your 30-game season or so in the summer. So there's 50-some. And then you play another X amount, whatever you do in the fall. Some, you know, play upwards of 30 games there. There's your season.
Yeah, and you have to look at a big picture, you're saying.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, I have often thought, and I'm probably obsessive about this, and I certainly haven't written a book on this for sure, but I always thought that you can't hit enough in Minnesota, that you can't get enough swings in Minnesota because, you know, the short season to begin with. Once the season starts, how many cuts do guys need to take during the week? Because I'm always thinking, man, find a place to hit wiffle balls, find a place to hit wiffle ball, yep, golf balls, find, you know, go in the net, whatever, just hit. I know I overdo this because that's not necessarily working on mechanics as much as it is just hitting, but what is your rule of thumb?
What we do is, like I said, is once we get, I make sure that the guys are comfortable. I give them what they need and what they want when they feel that they're good. Now remember, I coach at college now, where I'm dealing, yep, with young men. So when they feel like, hey, they've got it, they feel good, they're done. And some guys take a lot of swings. Other guys don't take as much. The one thing we do really well here, Mike, in Minnesota, and I'm talking the high school coaches, the college coaches. I tell you what, if I was the best thing that my best practices, I know by far at Bethel, is in February. It's not in the spring. My best practices is when I have everybody that we could do the fundamentals and work on the fundamentals. And really, when we go down south to play, we play teams all over the country. We usually are the most fundamental team on the field. Why? That's all we work on here. In the winter, we're working on the fundamentals. And I think you should swing a lot, but when you've had enough, move on.
And know your body, know yourself. Okay, know last body, question for you, Brian Robbie. I don't know if you heard about today's game, but it was a classic manager's dilemma, player's delight, whatever you want to call it. You know, Clayton Kershaw threw 7 perfect innings for the Dodgers against the Twins, 13 strikeouts, 21 batters faced, and they pulled him at the 80 pitches. They pulled him, you know, for the obvious reasons that it's early in the season, etc. What would you have done as a manager, and how do you feel about that when a guy's got a perfect game going after 7 innings this early in the season, in this case against the Twins today?
Well, it's two things. Number one, I'm not in that spot to do that, but in that spot, especially with Kershaw, I would rely on him. He's been around. He knows what he's done. He's an unbelievable pitcher. He's one of the best that there's been left-handers. I would have gone up to him and said, hey, where you at? What are you doing? Now, he had 80 pitches to me. Now, with him, there's one thing, Mike, that we have to remember. He had arm injury last year. Am I correct on that? I believe he did. So in that situation, honestly, knowing that, I probably pull him. Yeah. And the reason why is because a no-hitter perfect game is great, but I would really rely on the pitcher a little bit. But we're trying to win a World Series at that level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I don't know what the score was, if they were up 7-0.
It was 4-0. They basically had the game in hand, you know?
Game in hand at that point. You got your closers. Everybody's set up. My bet is the manager, at that level, the players have a big say in what they're going to do. The manager is the boss, yes. But the players have a lot of say in where things are at. And a lot of times it feels, you know, I even do that with players. Hey, where are you feeling? What's going on? What are you doing? And if they give me any type of indication that it's not right, boom, we get him out. And my assumption is that they did that. Did he end up throwing a team no-hitter today or no?
No, they gave one hit in the eighth, one meaningless hit. But all the conversation, of course, about the perfect game. It wasn't just a no-hitter. It was a perfect game in this case, you know?
Well, let me tell you something, Mike. Whoever got the hit today, that wasn't meaningless to them.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know what? I think about that every time I'm watching at bat. There is no such thing as a meaningless at bat in the big leagues, is there? I mean, you grind out every pitch, don't you?
Every pitch and every hit, like I said, there. It's like when I tease my hitters, there's never, ever when I watch hitters and they get a boop hit or they don't hit it well and they get a hit and they're on first base and kids do this or even pro guys sometimes do it and they act disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, and they got a hit. I'm like, man, oh man, don't ever do that because baseball guys will get you and they'll see that and say, okay, you don't like that hit? Here comes your 0-for-30.
Yeah, I know. Why are we so programmed that way through this game of baseball, man? That's exactly what this game does to us, you know. I have to be happy or otherwise I'm going to get, you know, and we believe if we hit line drives, they catch it. Eventually they go through and all that stuff, but it's the but if you think there's a meaningless at-bat, wait till you can't play baseball anymore and there's no meaningless at-bat when you can't have one anymore, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm teasing, obviously, when
I
say that. But
the way we program our brains in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
a tough game, and it's one of the – and baseball is just one of – because, you know, when you watch it, and when you watch it from afar, even when you're coaching, and you're like, you know, what are we looking for? Why are we not swinging at that? How are we not hitting that ball? Well, you know what? It's kind of like that old adage. Well, then you go out there and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You think this is easy? Here's a bat.
You step up here again.
Brian, I appreciate it very much. Keep up the great work. Good luck the rest of the way, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
You bet. Brian Robbie. Do you believe in karma, folks? See, there's this thing in baseball. There's all these unwritten rules. And the unwritten rules are, I'll fill in the blank when we come back. But if you're not familiar with it, it'll blow you away because it makes no real sense, but it makes perfect sense if you're a baseball player. Stay tuned. Brace yourself. You won't believe what I'm about to tell you. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, a guy that I've gotten over the last few years. He's a coach. He was an athlete, but there's so much more to Dominique Pierre-Toussaint than that. Dom, thank you for joining us.
How's it going, Mike? How's it going?
Good, man. I want to start with, because you tell the story better than I, you know, where you've ended up, and you're in downtown Hopkins and some of the things that you've done. Downtown Hopkins was just recognized last night, and I'll be darned if the mayor didn't point you out in the midst of that speech for very good reason. But explain how Dom grew up and how football helped change his life.
I grew up, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and reside in Far Rockaway, Queens, Edgemere Projects, you know, during the crack era, right with the beginning of the crack era.
Yep.
It was different seeing the change from night to day due to the effects of drugs hitting our community. And I lived in a pretty tough community. Edgemere was a tough community, but it made me who I am today.
Claimed the lives of some of your friends, but you took a different path. What did you do?
Hip hop was a part of my life. I was into the arts. It took an art teacher and a music teacher that noticed that I had a passion for it, and they helped me utilize that passion in a good form. And it took a mentor, Mr. Smalls, that took me out of the streets from doing graffiti and took me into a center and actually had me do my graffiti on the wall instead of defacing property and getting into trouble or behind bars. So it took some mentors to make me who I am today, too.
So you're playing football. You've got somebody channeling your art and energy in the right direction, but it's never a smooth path. When you left high school, how did you end up in Minnesota?
Actually, I was in Maryland. I moved kind of like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air type situation from the streets of Edgemere.
Yep.
Got into a life-threatening situation there and had to move and moved in with my aunt and uncle in Maryland and attended a school in the suburbs. So that was different for me from being from the urban area and moving into a suburb area. And coach pulled me along and yanked me into wrestling. And the only thing I knew, Mike, was WWF. So
yeah.
I was pretty strong and he noticed that. So he utilized my strength and he guided me to a place that actually earned me a scholarship out to Dickinson State University.
And then what?
And then, you know, in Dickinson State University in North Dakota, it gave me a little chance to explore football, too, even more. So I played for Hank Bijou out there for one season. And, you know, the tracks of not continuing school the proper way kind of led me to not finishing school. But that led me here to Minnesota instead of moving back to Brooklyn And when I moved here to Minnesota, it was a buddy of mine that was working for Prince at that time, and he asked me to join him in being one of the security guards, bodyguard with him out at Paisley Park and on a couple of events that he had downtown. And that opened my eyes up to Minneapolis and noticed the beauty of the arts here, and it started bringing the arts back out in me, Mike.
What was Prince like?
He was an interesting gentleman. I rarely talked to him. It was only during the late nights that he would have functions out at Paisley Park. But I do remember one story. I was guarding the steps that go up to where top DJ area, and I saw a silhouette, and it was just a small silhouette. And I'm going to tell you, Mike, I thought it was a woman going up the steps. So
yeah.
I screamed at her.
Yeah.
Screamed at him and said, "Hey, get over here." And as the silhouette got closer and I looked a little deeper, and I noticed it was Prince. We used to call him Old Boy.
Yeah.
I noticed it was Prince, and he walked up to me and he said, "Well, at least I know you're doing your job." And then he told me to walk through the crowd with him to get to the DJ booth. So he was a very interesting cat.
Okay, so now you've coached. I'm skipping ahead a little bit here, but you've gotten involved in a couple things in Hopkins, and I mentioned that you got called out for it in a good way last night from the mayor, because you're doing something in downtown Hopkins with your talents and your gifts. Explain what's happened in downtown Hopkins and what role you're playing in it.
Well, I work for ICA Food Shelf.
Yep.
And I'm the community relations manager for ICA Food Shelf. So in my role, what I do, Mike, is I first create a space to listen to the concerns of our new generation, and community leaders, city officials, and Hennepin County officials. Then I identify the common grounds between the conversations that they share about their concerns. And the three major concerns I've heard repeatedly revolves around food insecurities, employment, counseling, and housing. And the funny thing is, with this organization that I'm with, they just so happen to provide me with the exact resources needed for this community-first approach to addressing the immediate needs of our service areas. So what I've done is I utilize those resources that I have to really extend myself to the community. And this Hopkins community has accepted me, and they've brought the art back out of me, Mike. I lost it for a little bit, but I found my passion again, and this great city has given me that opportunity to share my eclectic thoughts and out-of-the-box thinking here.
Dominique Pierre Toussaint is our guest. He's out in Hopkins. He's a fixture out there. But I want to get into the food shelf part of it, because I don't think people understand. And one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on tonight was because of the work that you, not just you, but the rest are doing there. Explain the need for food shelves in the suburbs, because everybody thinks, not everybody, a lot of people think it's only an urban issue. Explain the need for ICA food shelf in the suburbs.
Well, first of all, the first thing is everybody always thinks it's just a food shelf. It is not just a food shelf.
Much more.
Wraparound services. Yeah, much more. Wraparound services. They actually help out with housing. As I stated earlier before, food insecurity, employment assistance, resume assistance, mental health connected with us through a relationship with Relate, and housing assistance. So it is more than just a food shelf. And right now, that is what I'm trying to do, is make sure that our community members understand that we are here to serve them, and we're here to serve them in any capacity as possible to help them achieve.
What is the number one need, you think, amongst the people?
The number one need right now, I'm not going to lie to you, due to the stopping. It's not food insecurity at the moment, but it's more housing. Housing seems to be the issue right now. And, you know, we've, as an organization, we actually helped about 1,000 individuals avoid eviction last year.
How do you do that?
How do we do that? Well, we do that with the help of Hennepin County, the CAP Board, CAP Community Action Partnership, and also with some of the services from the government, which with the CAP HC, I happen to be a board member there as well.
Yep. So the people that are in need out there right now, for food, for housing, for all these things, obviously it's the old saying, you know, teach a man to fish and he'll eat for life. What can you do to give them the resources, intellectually speaking, educationally speaking, to help negate this problem?
Well, I'm going to say it is not just one, it is not just ICA to help out with the situation. It takes collaborating with schools, collaborating with cities, collaborating with parents, caretakers. It's an old saying, Mike. It takes a village, man.
Yep.
It really does. It takes a village. And I know it's an old saying, but it is the truth. And right now, we're working together to end the silos and work as a unity. Work in unity right now. So it sounds like a cliche, my man, but it is the truth. We are working together with everybody. And right now, we have the backing of the city of Hopkins. We have the backing of Henry County and the backing of Hopkins Public Schools, and ICA is just another piece on the board to help us move strategically.
Now, you've raised some great kids, and you know what kids mean. I know what they mean to you. You've coached them. I've seen you coach them. You've done lots of things for kids along the way. When you see a kid who is short on hope, meaning they live in a household where there isn't a lot of reason to be optimistic, what do you try to do for them, and what can we do for them?
Well, I just keep it simple, Mike. I find out what they're passionate about, and then I draw off their passion. And then I create a platform that's off their passion so they can share their gifts with the world and make sure that I actually showcase them in a way that makes them proud to be who they are. That's what was done for me when I was younger. I wish I had all of the resources I have right now. So now that I have all these resources, Mike, I'm just creating platforms for those individuals that are in need like that, especially the youth.
What if you see children, not just you, but I'm talking about us or any of us, and you think they're in a bad situation? You think that the parents aren't giving them what they need to be successful. You think that it's going to end badly if they stay in this situation. What do you do?
Man, that's a wide open question right there, Mike.
Yeah. But I think about it for ourselves, because we all have, sometimes we see things and we're not quite sure, but we think, my God, that kid needs more help than they're giving him, you know?
Right. And there's no simple question. There's no simple answer
right
to that, Mike. The only thing you can do, let me be clear, too, you're not going to be able to save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the role that's what I keep in mind, because you try to do the best that you can and whatnot. You can't for sure think that they're going to listen to you or follow you. But the best that I do, the only thing I know to do is be myself and to show that individual that I am here for them as long as they're here to work with me to help them.
What do you tell people that go, you know, I'm at a stage in life where I need to give something back, and I'm not quite sure how I can be most effective in doing that? How can people be effective in volunteering? I don't know if it is for your group or not, but what kind of inventory should they take, and where should they go if they have a resource? If it's not just money, but I mean the ability to mentor or to assess, what can they do?
Well, first I have them reach out to me and then share what their passion is. And then what I do from there, Mike, is I create so many platforms in the community, Mike, that I will find something with your skill set to actually assist and volunteer. But I make sure that it fits along your schedule. I make sure that it's that you are comfortable in doing it. So the first step, Mike, is reach out to me.
And that's at ICA. And ICA, like Dom said, it's much bigger than, it's not just a food shelf, it's so much more. But I guess what I'm trying to do is get people to think about, you know, what could we do? Where could we fit? If people have skill sets and gifts that I think get underutilized, particularly as they get older, Dom, that could be incredible assets for organizations like yours.
Well, at ICA Food Shelf, actually, we run by volunteers. But just a high percentage of our considered coworkers are volunteers. And it's individuals with different skill sets. They come to us and they tell us what their passions are, and we place them in a situation that actually helps and benefits us and the community.
Dom, I got to tell you, though, man, you don't live life sitting down. You're out there. You're trying to do something good. You're trying to make Hopkins better. You're trying to make these different communities better because you know who they were because you were there. And I commend you for all that you're doing, and I just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing because you are giving something really special back to Hopkins and beyond. So thank you for joining us tonight, and I think you know your story. That's why I wanted people to hear your background before we got to the point about what you're doing now, because it's a story that provides hope and it shows us what we should be doing. So I just appreciate it very much, and you and I will have coffee again soon. All right.
All right, Mike. I look forward to it. Don't threaten me with a good time.
You got it, buddy. Dominique Pierre Toussaint, the one and only Dom. ICA is a great group. There's so many of them, but he has just been an integral part of it out there with Dan Knorr and that whole group. And what they're doing is, you know, trying to take care of their neighborhood. If you just take care of your neighborhood, just a few people, because you can't do it all. You can't just motivate the masses. But if you can just take care of a couple people, and we all could just take care of a couple people, we really can do some things. Back to talk, what else? Wrestling Lollapalooza. I didn't know that existed when we come back. We're just talking with Dom, one of the great people that I know in my life, makes my life better. And he was talking about being a bodyguard for Prince and First Avenue and all that went with it. And then Tubbsy mentioned that he'd been to First Avenue. I didn't know that First Avenue had these events. They have wrestling events at First Avenue?
Yeah. A few weeks ago.
When did this happen?
Oh, they've had them there for a while.
Vern Gagne is rolling over in his grave to think that they would go to a disco joint.
I tell you what, though, the way that it is, it's called Wrestlepalooza.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's put on. We've got very good promotions in this in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Okay. I mean, so who shows up for this? I mean, they got a ring in the middle of First Avenue?
Yeah. They've got a ring. They've got artists, like musical artists. They've got burlesque. It's like a big old party. But it's just got wrestling, and it's music, and it's, you know, standing room only. It's packed butt to butt. So it's.
But do they get headliners? Or are these the minor league wrestlers?
They get headliners. They get they get people that were there, you know, from All Elite Wrestling. They've got a couple of guys that are really making a name, Dante and Darius Martin, who are on All Elite Wrestling. They're known as Top Flight, and they're a couple of young kids that were trained here in the cities. I believe they still live here, but they are absolutely main event caliber guys. Ari Daivari, Sheikh Ari Daivari, used to wrestle in WWE. He's now back and, you know, working with First Avenue. And the great thing is they do that for the adults, but then there's so many really good shows that are, you know, eight that are, you know, kid friendly as well. So it's, I don't know.
Is there a music component to these events because it's at First Avenue or not really?
Yeah, there is.
I mean, just background or is it a place that you're going, not only are you going to get the ring, but you're also going to get dancing or a singer or I don't know.
Yeah, they'll have, I'd never heard of this individual. His name is Nerdy. Nurd. And he's like a hip hop wrestling fan, but he was there bumping his music, and you know he performed. They've had rock there, and then they have burlesque dancers that will go in
there. The Rock was there?
No, not The Rock. They'll have rock music. Although
I was gonna say, if you can get The Rock, you got something big. Yeah.
Although they had people like Scott Hall, the late Scott Hall, who was, you know, Razor Ramon, he was there years ago. I mean, they do a good job of bringing in talent for this.
Okay.
And First Avenue, I mean, it's First Avenue. You know, it's First Ave.
So sometimes when I see those lines outside of there, it may be for wrestling.
Yeah, it might be if if you see a bunch of shady, odd-looking people.
With tattoos?
With tattoos and maybe not the most upkept.
Okay.
Those are my people.
Then you know it's a wrestling match.
That's a wrestling crowd right there.
Yeah, but if you're single at that point in time, you probably don't want to go in there, you know, the same way you would go in First Avenue
No, if you're a single, good-looking person, you're not going to wrestling.
Yeah, they're going to grind, but it's a different kind of grind.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I love, you know, I love it. It's my people.
Did wrestling take a huge hit from COVID? And you know, because you need that studio audience in the form of an arena, whatever, so bad.
Yeah, you know, there was... You know, some promotions did it where they'd have it in an enclosed area, but they'd have their wrestlers would work as the audience. So you'd have maybe 1,000 people or 500. They'd be socially distanced. But then WWE.
That's no fun, though, you know?
No, yeah, WWE had. Yeah, they had what they called the Thunderdome, where they'd have virtual fans, where they'd just be. I'm not sure if you'd have to pay for a spot or what it was, but they'd have people on a video screen and, I don't know, just like anything, you just.
And if you're willing to pay, they'll work it out for you, right?
Yeah, hey. Yeah. Vince McMahon will take your money, won't he, Hammer?
He will.
And he'll give you a crappy product in return.
We done for the night, Tubbsy?
15 seconds.
Okay. I got the news to do at 10 o'clock.
Hold on. So. I'll give you a countdown. Wait.
Okay. I'll be on 10 o'clock news. Hammer's in the studio. That means the Lake Man is coming up next. Henry Lake breaking down the NBA playoffs and beyond next on WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.